Can you hear me? You know, someone asked me once, why do you do that? Why do you go to those poor nations? And it's like, because God loves them. Okay, pull it together. So we appreciate your prayer. You receive. We appreciate your money. If you want to partner with us, we would deeply appreciate it. How many of you got this one figured out? More money you have, the more you can do. So we have churches partner with us. We have businesses partner with us. We have individuals in our heart. And our God's principle, as you know, is whatever you sow into, you receive the same reward in fruit as if you went. That's cool. Because there's places I want to go and I can't, but we can't. So we sow into like Heidi Baker's stuff and stuff. So we receive, and the fruit of her ministry comes on our ministry, which enables us to do more. So the fruit of your sowing comes on your life, which will increase your passion, your design, your business, even churches receive. So just consider it. That's all. All right, let's pray. Mais alegria. Mais poder. Mais amor. Mais. In nome de Jesus. I forget. More power, more love, more of your fire. In Jesus' name. I'm actually excited for this morning. I don't remember the last time we were here. I had to ask. The Lord has allowed us to go to places. We were last year in South Korea. Have I told you about that? I can't remember when I was here. South Korea was incredible. Hungry people. It's incredible. You know, we've been to the poorest of the poor, down in Belize. We did a healing crusade for the Mayan Indian people. They're like this tall. Thousands of people came because Jesus. Because Jesus loves them. We've also been to the richest of the rich in the Middle East, Dubai. Just crazy. It's like they have too much money. What in the world? But you know what? Even in the midst of their stuff, they're empty. Jesus meets them because they're hungry and they're broken. They're lonely, afflicted. And Jesus shows up. Wow. And can I just say, last night and here this morning on the way, the Lord just stirred in my heart. I want to share just a simple message to you. I love what Paul said, let no one sway you from the simplicity of Christ. But I want to encourage some of you this morning. I just felt stirred in my heart that some of you, you do feel lonely. To some sense, you're feeling a sense of abandonment that, maybe God used me one time but not again, or maybe I missed my chance, or any of these things. I just feel stirred in my heart that the Father or Dad wants to encourage you that there's always more. There's more for you to do. And He's there smiling. And so for us, it's a matter of learning to expect Him to show up in the midst of our life. It's expecting Him to show up in those times where we do feel alone or we feel abandoned. But we go to Him and say, Papa, I need you to show up. I need you here, Papa. And His presence comes because His tangible presence will take care of everything. His tangible presence, there's something about the encountering presence of God that comes and heals the broken heart. The intangible presence of God comes and restores sonship and daughtership. The tangible presence of God, when it's ignited inside of us, opens up a fresh level of intimacy till we know that we know everything's going to be okay because Papa's here. So encountering His presence is a big deal. See, He wants us to live in the Word, but above the Word. He wants us to engage with Him because He is our life. He is our Papa, good Papa. And for some of us this morning, I just want you to remember, He has, it's almost like He's setting up a surprise appointment for you. Because I see some of you in your quiet time, your prayers with the Lord, and sometimes it just gets a little routine, but your heart is still like hungry as you pray for Him, pray and talk to Him. And I just see His amazing encountering love, His fire, His Holy Spirit overwhelming you and wrecking you, and you're just not the same. I see that. I saw that this morning driving here. So I encourage you that in your private, intimate time with the Father, begin to expect Him to show up in more than a story, in a real way, and just receive it. Because God's up to something good in making. He's up to something good. I love the scripture in Mark 16. We have three kids, and growing up, every time we'd have to have a babysitter, of course, when you leave, you go to make sure that babysitter understands the most important thing they need to know to take care of those kids before you leave, right? You're going to make sure they get this. Well, when Jesus was ascending, I think He told us one of the thing that was on His heart the most. And He said, hey, I want you to go. I'm paraphrasing. I want you to go. I want you to love people. I want you to make disciples. I want you to teach them to do everything I taught you to do, because I'm going to be with you. So I need you to do that. Teach them everything I taught you. Teach them to love. Teach them to pray for the sick. Teach them to cast out critters. Teach them everything I taught you. Teach them, because I'm with you. So see, I see that's the most important thing on Jesus' heart, I think, when He left. And so that's our mission as believers. That's our mission as the church. Because the church was created to distribute the kingdom of God. The church was created to be empowered, to grab a hold of God, to grab a hold of His presence and be encouraged and trained, recruited, trained, deployed, nurtured, and go and do in the context of our level of influence, whatever that is. That's why we're here. Family. And so that's the call of the church. But when I say the church, you know this. This is you. We are called the church. And we are called to demonstrate the kingdom of God. It's beyond the gospel of salvation. It's the gospel of the kingdom is what Jesus preached. And it says that Jesus went around preaching good news. See, the gospel of the kingdom is always good news. Because the gospel of the kingdom will show up and say, cancer, die. That's good news. The gospel of the kingdom will show up and say, lonely, brokenhearted, be healed. You have great value. You are my son and daughter. That's good news. Even to the point of when the kingdom shows up, the gospel of the kingdom shows up in your life, your business that was struggling suddenly begins to make a profit. Because that's the kingdom. That is the good news. That's what it's like in heaven. And He wants that here in our life. And I don't know, I've been to some churches that when I left, I felt worse than when I came in. I did not hear good news there. Because the good news of the kingdom is always good. There's no fear in His love. There's no condemnation, guilt in His love. And so if you're hearing something else that brings you guilt, condemnation, and all that junk, that's not the gospel of the kingdom. That's the gospel of religion or the gospel of somebody who needs to control everybody, or you know what I'm saying. The gospel of the kingdom is our mission, all of us together. No matter if you're a banker, you're a farmer, a teacher, whatever your profession is, our mission, your mission, is to display the gospel of the kingdom wherever we go. That's what Jesus said before He left. Most important thing. So how does that look, though? How does that look in Macon? Well, it looks exciting. Because once we comprehend the tangible love of God, we suddenly become people of honor. We suddenly have a church of honor. You know what that simply means? It's like what Jesus said. I will lay down my life for my brother. It's like Jesus said, if you want to be great, serve all. Honor simply means esteeming one more highly than yourself. That's Jesus, huh? And that's who we are, because he's inside of us. So we just need to let that out. But sometimes, in order to do that, we just have to get over ourselves. I just want to say a couple of things. I just sort of share my heart, what I felt the Lord put on me this morning. Macon has an incredible history. And you are in this area by divine design. I don't believe, you may think coincidental or, oh, I got stuck in Macon, I don't know what. Well, while you're here, you have a divine purpose. And God is a great opportunist. You may have made something silly and wind up here in Macon and God wants you somewhere else. And that's okay. He will rework things. But I'm going to tell you, while you're here, you have a divine assignment. And you need to awaken to this. Now, some of you feel you don't. Again, some of you feel like you've lost it. Some of you feel like your time has passed. Can I just say, tell you, that self-talk births out of feelings of sorry for myself. I feel sorry for myself. I know my time has passed. God just never going to use me, you know. You're feeling sorry for yourself. Look, how do I know this? I've been there. And so what happens is the core of us needs to be renewed and revived. The core of us needs to understand what great value and worth we really have instead of what we think we have. We need to see our life through the Father's eyes. And that's one of the wonderful things about receiving and encountering presence of Papa in your time of prayer. You know, it's learning to move beyond offense and insecurities. It's learning to get a vision beyond ourselves. Well, I can't do anything. Well, that is the point. We just need to show up and let Jesus do what only Jesus can do. I can't do anything. I just show up, say, here I am, Papa. What do you want to do? And you got to do it, because if you don't do it, ain't nothing going to happen. And I'm okay with that, because I think that's the whole point. And in doing that, we become a natural lover. You know, can I say this? One of the things that I know Macon needs is spiritual mothers and fathers. Spiritual mothers and fathers need to awaken and give yourself permission to be who you are. Just not in the church, but in the community where you live. You know, Paul talks about there's a great need for this in the church. And so every one of you in here can be a mother or father. You know, every one of us in here can get over ourselves and let Jesus do what he wants to do and be moms and dads. That's what Macon is looking for. You know, whether you're a 12-year-old or a 112-year-old, we're looking for someone to tell us that we really have value. I really have value. You really love me. I really have worth in my life, because most people don't feel that. They're dejected, they're lonely, they're broken, they're hurt, and they're looking for value. They're looking for someone to say, I really do love you because you have great value in my eyes. Well, you just don't know the community I live in. Well, I don't. But I know where Jesus used to hang out when he was on the earth. And if I remember right, the people that said these were the scum of the earth, he hung out with those guys. Why? Because he had the answer. He had the good news for their life because he loved them. He wasn't so concerned about what they did or didn't do. He loved them. And so we are called to be mothers and fathers. See, that's something every one of us could do. You know, somebody's saying, well, I don't have the training. I can't do that. Can I tell you something right now? If we were to go together, if I was to take any one of you and show up in Nicaragua, sit you out in the woods with tribes of people, and tell you, go ahead and start ministry. You'd be shocked at what comes out of you. We all carry this. I mean, come on. We've been in this a long time. There's a deep, deep treasure in us. And you just need to realize that, awaken it. Give yourself permission to do this. And start thinking what a great papa you have. And wherever you walk, everything's going to be okay because pop's here. And great love, 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 love. And encountering the presence of God, I can't get away from that, activates love like nothing else. So, you know, we have to become a people with unexplainable, empowering love for people. We have to become a people to a generation of fatherless and motherless kids, whether they're adults or not, of just relentless, passionate love. And that's why we need the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because have you ever tried to love on your own? It doesn't work. But when His presence, when the Holy Spirit comes alive inside of us, we start to look at people through His eyes. And the people that do bad stuff to us, we realize they're broken. They're responding to life out of brokenness. You know, the defensive or territorial or whatever, they're just broken, that's all. They need Jesus to show up and let them know everything's okay. So they get to the point they don't have to defend themselves anymore. They're okay. That makes sense. So we're all called to do this. And see, for years the enemy has beat us up over our identity. The greatest battle that we'll ever have in life is a battle for our true identity. Not the identity that circumstances put on us, not maybe what our upbringing put on us or other people put on us, but what God says about you, your true identity. Your true identity is that you are a son and a daughter of the Creator of the universe. You're the son and the daughter of a king, which makes you prince and princesses. The truth is, wherever you walk, the kingdom walks with you, so the rule and reign of God's house walks with you wherever you go. That means the atmosphere that you walk into, you carry with you the ability in that atmosphere to create heaven, so to speak, in their life situation. Because the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is within you. That's the demonstrating power of the Holy Spirit. So we get to walk in this. And we get to understand our identity. I'm the son. I'm the daughter of the king. And the son and the daughter of the king gets total access to the kingdom. And everything that's in the kingdom, the son and the daughter has access to. So in God's kingdom, there's good news, demonstrating healing. There's wholeness of heart, there's wholeness of spirit, there's wholeness of your wallet. Everything good is in the kingdom, and we have access to that. But the access, the gatekeeper of access, is expectation. Am I expecting the goodness of the kingdom to infiltrate my life so I can help others? Access is guarded by expectation. What am I truly expecting from God? Because the truth is, whatever you expect, you're going to get. And one of the tough things is, if we're always second-guessing God, whether He loves us or not, which I don't think you are here, it really hinders our ability to pray in faith. Because you're always second-guessing God, whether He'll answer your prayer, because you know you're not perfect. So how could God answer an imperfect believer? Well, I think Jesus took care of that. So in God's eyes, you're His perfect son and daughter. In God's eyes, you can get up every morning and look in the mirror and say, good morning, righteousness. I mean, you can have one of the worst days of your life where you cuss out the driver all over you, you do all sorts of stuff, you still go home, look in the mirror and say, hello, righteousness. That's incredible, isn't it? A lot of people have a hard time with that message. But that's who we are. And that's what we need to give to other people, that they're greatly valued, that God does not hold their actions against them. He's after their heart. And you and I get to do that. Wherever you live, whatever you walk, you can become a spiritual mom and dad to people that God brings into your life. Now, not everybody you run into, you're called to minister to. We're called to love everybody, but we're not called to like everybody. And that's okay. I mean, Jesus only really hung out with a couple of his disciples. Jesus was so compelled by love and compassion. And remember, compassion, when you read Greek definitions of compassion, simply paraphrased means, this is not right. I must do something about it. See, compassion is an action word just as love is. You can say you love people if you don't do anything. Okay, do you? You follow what I'm saying. So, and the great thing that Jesus said when they asked him about the commandment, he says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Love. Then love your neighbor as you love yourself. How's that working out? See, that's why it's so important that we value who we are in God's eyes and we learn to love ourselves. We need to learn to love and to be loved and get over all the rest of the stuff. Because one day we're going to take that breath and here we are with the Father. Then what? See, we want to leave with no regrets. If only I would have done this. If only I would have done that. If I hadn't have done this, I'd not. Just stop. Get over it. Realize who you are. Realize what great love he's given to you so that you can actually love yourself. And that's okay. Can you imagine having one of your own kids or grandkids just moping around saying, God, I'm so messed up. There's something wrong with me. I can't work. You know, that would tend to get to your heart. So how much more would our Heavenly Father really love the fact that you finally awakened to who you are and say, oh, Daddy, thank you. Thank you that you have made me with your worth, your values upon me. I really have something to say and do here because of you. Thank you. Then nothing's impossible with me, Dad, because we walk together. So each morning you get up and say, okay, Papa, here we go. What are we going to do today? Because God needs, Father needs to co-labor with you in the earth to affect the earth. He's not going to send chariots of angels down the streets of Macon to change Macon. He's going to send you filled with his incredible love and demonstrated power that finally has a heart of compassion for people who are broken. Remember Jesus at the well? I love this story. I'll try to wrap up here. Here's just a wonderful demonstration. We know the story of Jesus at the well, the Samaritan woman, right? Understand something. Samaritan people at that time were called half-breeds. Jewish people did not like them. They didn't want to hang around with them. So here comes Jesus, just tooling along. You know, he's thirsty. He stops by the well. There's a Samaritan woman. His disciples freak out because he's talking to a woman. Jesus did not care about tradition. He cared about hearts. And that tradition is so stupid. In fact, our conference we're going to do, I get to teach a session on setting women free in ministry. Erasing all that bad theology that we may have grown up with from Scripture. So Jesus came to this lady at the well. And then he began to talk to her. Just, I love the fact that as Jesus lived life, the Holy Spirit showed up. He didn't have to, okay, today I'm going to witness to 2,500 people. And, you know, no, if you live your life with an awareness of who you are, he will orchestrate divine appointments for you during your life, during your day. And the Holy Spirit's already in you. So you just, you stop, you take a breath, you begin to acknowledge his presence, what he wants. So Jesus is just living his life. He comes across this lady, begins to talk to her. Disciples freak out. And then she begins to talk back to him. And Jesus says something about her husband. Remember this? And then she says, well, I'm paraphrasing. I don't know. And he says to her, you are correct. You have no husband. You've had five. The one you're with now is not your husband. Remember this? Word of knowledge kicking in. That same word of knowledge, that same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to do that is in you. Because remember, Jesus was man, fully God, but man empowered by the Holy Spirit to demonstrate to us what life could be like when we're empowered of the Father's presence. So she says, yeah, and then what? This great response, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Of course. And so, can I tell you, this is my take on this. It's not in Scripture. But when you look at this picture, Jesus walked through tradition because he's after her heart. He loves her. And you got to think for a minute. He wasn't so concerned about the five and the one. It's like the woman caught in adultery. You know, he's after her heart. That's why he said, don't sin no more. It's just going to hurt you. So here Jesus is. This lady is blown away. And I think this lady probably was sterile. This is my opinion. Probably sterile. She got married, barren. She was a barren barrel. Sorry. Yeah, we are family. I love it. So I think that she probably was married. She could not bear a child. And the guy was upset. Because, you know, in that culture, man, you burn the biscuits, they can divorce you. And he just threw her out. He got married. She got married again. She couldn't bear children. And, you know, in this culture, if you could not bear a child, you were considered cursed of God. So here you go. Third time, fourth time. And understand, you know, she's given her heart away. She's hoping for love back. And suddenly someone kicks her out. It breaks her heart. She comes lonely. She comes broken. And she tries a fifth time. Would somebody just love me? Kicks her out. And finally, I can see that she comes to a point and says, I'm over this. I'm tired of having my hopes just dashed. I'm tired of hoping that someone will love me and they don't. They commit to me, but they throw me away. I can just see this now. So someone comes to her and they say, hey, you want to get married? And she just looks at him and goes, uh-uh. If you love me, you want to be with me, that's fine. But I don't trust you. Because her heart was broken. That's culturally, I think that could probably be what happened. So Jesus began to minister to her. She got so excited. Remember this? He was after her heart. He wasn't so concerned about the physical actions. It's the heart. Because every issue of life stems from our heart. Every kingdom life, the life of the kingdom, all stems out of the heart. So we got to take care of our heart at all costs. So he was after her heart. So we know what happens. She was so excited. She went to the city. Whoa, let me tell you, this guy told me things. And so the guys ran up to him and says after a while that, you know, oh, thank you, but we don't need that testimony anymore. We just see for ourselves what he is. Remember this? Well, what's so incredible about here? Stopping and having compassion and love, wanting to set this woman free and restore her to a daughtership, set in motion an incredible revival down the road. Because later on in Acts 8, we see that Philip came down to Samaria. And when Philip came down to Samaria, where Jesus was and had this happen, it says that Philip began to perform signs and wonders and miracles. There was demons, all this stuff. And then it says, and there was great rejoicing in Samaria because the kingdom of God had showed up. Jesus set that in motion by loving and caring for one person. So who knows? You could care for someone. You could actually take time to have compassion and love somebody. And, you know, they may look like the man in the mood. You have no idea, but you have no idea what that fruit, what that seed could do, right? You see, Jesus is compelled. He's compelled with love. And I want to be compelled with love. I there are times I'm not. I wish I was all the time. But I'm working on it. But that simple act of love brought revival. Incredible. So can you imagine that? Can you imagine you just start to live your life with an awareness of who your dad really is and what he says about you? The father says, you're my blood, man. You are my blood. You're my family. Don't talk about who you're not. Talk about who you are. And you begin to live life as you live life. Divine appointment set up. You get to talk to someone. You get to tell them how much you love them, how much value they have in daddy's eyes. And, oh, you have this issue? Watch this. Pain leave. Pain go. Suddenly, the presence of the Holy Spirit heals, and you got their attention. Or just a brace. Just sometimes giving someone attention during the day can just minister to them. Family, we just have to get to the fact that we are going to risk to love. to love brings demonstration. I pray for a little girl, or a lady in Atlanta. She was in her 30s. She was a Methodist. God bless the Methodist. She'd come for prayer. She had tumors in her brain. And she brought her little daughter with her. And someone, one of her friends, had just emailed her the night before and told her that, well, you know, these tumors in your brain is the way God's going to take you home. Wow, that builds faith, doesn't it? That builds faith to die. Oh, when she said that, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I had to contain myself. And so I just began to share testimonies of things we've seen in the nations. I mean, we've seen so many incredible things. And what's so crazy, too, good, is we will pray for people and see nothing, and then 3 days later get this incredible report of how Jesus healed them. I don't get that. I don't understand it. That's okay. I don't have to understand. I quit asking questions. I just know. We prayed, shared prayer for a lady in one of our conferences in Brazil. Her whole left side was paralyzed. She was just, you know, walking around. And 2 days later, she ran into her, and she said, oh, she ran up to Sherry. Thank you for being okay. Who are you? And she said, you don't remember me? You prayed for me the other night. I was totally paralyzed on this side. Now look at me. I'm totally healed. That happened as a couple of days happened. We prayed for a little girl in Brazil once, had cancer growing on her face. Nothing seemed to happen. The next morning she got up, looked in the mirror, the cancer was gone. And fresh skin and grow back overnight. I don't understand it. I don't care. I have great faith that when I lay hands on the sick, people will recover. And if that recovery takes an instant or a week or a year, I have great faith in that verse because I've seen it way too many times. So I almost get confused when people don't get healed. So what? What is going on? You know, we used to, it was the other way. And so healing coming is a great demonstration of Papa's love. Because no mother or father in the world wants their children to suffer or have cancer. And so here this little girl we're praying for, and I could tell she wasn't getting these testimonies. And I saw the little girl, and I thought, okay, wow, look, she's so beautiful. I don't know, she's 7 or 8. Yeah, she's beautiful. And then I said, can I ask you a question? Sure. If you had the ability, being her mother, would you put cancer on that daughter for any reason? Man, Mama Bear woke up. Absolutely not. I just sat there and looked at her, and her whole countenance changed. She got it. She got it through the love of a mother for a daughter. Not the testimonies, but that. And so we prayed for her. I remember a little Methodist girl, as we began to pray for her, we laid hands on her, the presence of the Holy Spirit came on her, and she began to shake. Methodists today do not shake. It scared her so much that she opened her eyes and, what's going on? What's happening? I'm just, you know, we're like smiling. Oh, it's good. It's the Holy Spirit. God's, your daddy's here. Father loves you. You're an amazing daughter. So she sat down in the center in the chair and continued to pray for her. Okay, nothing happened. She was encouraged. She knew she was loved. 2 weeks later, the email comes that says when she went back to her oncologist to check her tumors, they had all vanished. That is the love of God. And we have to take the risk to allow Jesus to love people. We have to get over ourselves. Take the risk. And see, a lot of people don't take the risk because they've been wounded before. They don't go into relationships because they're afraid to get hurt before. But I said earlier, man, we've been in this a long time, haven't we? Let's just wake up to this. And those little foxes that like to come into our heart or emotions and spoil the whole vine, let's just get over that. And focus on the one thing that's most important, the Father and the display of His kingdom through my life into the life of other people and love them. The risk to love is incomparable. And is it love that gets people out of the wheelchair? Baptist guy argued with me once, but the greatest is love. Yeah, that's right. But isn't love when Jesus shows up and a blind eye is open? Isn't that love? So love compels us. And love saturates healing. And when Jesus heals someone, He is demonstrating not only a physical restoration, but He's showing them what great love their Father has for them. So we have to take the risk. And, you know, trust is truly coming to a place where we will take the risk to get hurt again. When you're in that place, get ready for some incredible adventures with God. Amen? Amen. I just want to ask you, if this moved your heart at all, I just want to pray for a fresh baptism of love for you this morning. And I'm not going to ask you to come up, but I will ask you to, let's all stand, if you would. And, you know, I was in the Czech Republic once, and one of the things we got to do was go into a blind school of kids. And so I was talking to them, and I was talking about the great love of the Father, the demonstrative love of the Father, but, you know, more than a story. And so I believe greatly that as we pray that the Holy Spirit shows up. I have great faith in that. But here's what they said in this blind school. All right, I want everyone to bow their head and close their eyes in this blind school. I suddenly realized, oh no. You know, you could hear them snickering. But I do believe that this morning we are here by divine purpose in the Holy Spirit just was to encourage us. Let us know everything is going to be okay because Papa's here. Let us receive a fresh encounter of his love this morning. So simply, if you want to hold your hands out to receive, that's fine. If you just want to stand there, that's okay. If you want to stand on your head, I really don't care. I've seen it all. We're just going to ask. And I'm not going to be in a hurry here. I'm just going to pray for a few minutes and let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do on this. Holy Spirit. Wow, Papa. Here we are, Dad. Here we are. You're a bunch of crazy kids here in this room, Lord. Thank you for your compassion and love for us. Lord, I thank you that there's a huge smile on your face when you look in here. Oh, wow, Lord. I even sense you're sort of bragging, saying, look at this. These are my kids. So, Lord, I thank you for that, that you would even imprint that on our heart. And Holy Spirit, as you came, and as you always do, I ask this morning that you would come and do what I can't do. Holy Spirit, that you would come and stir our hearts with new compassion. Stir our hearts with forgiveness. Stir our hearts with fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh mice. Fogu. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, if you would just close your eyes, begin to sense what he's doing, realize he is here, and just receive that fresh baptism of love. Some of you will feel a refreshing on the inside as you let some things go that you've carried. It's like, okay, time's up. I'm letting go of this. And in the place of that now comes this refreshing love. The empowering presence of God, the demonstrating power of the miraculous through love. Holy Spirit, I ask you to just increase. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would increase more of your incredible love into our hearts. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you would now do that work that only you can do. And Lord, cause our eyes, cause our focus to look at you and not to look at anything else. Holy Spirit, increase. Increase your presence. Increase this fresh baptism of love in us. Now, some of you actually may begin to tangibly, physically feel something. I just know that's the Father's love on you. Whether it's trembling or fire or joy, that's Papa's love. Just letting you know how much he loves you. Because he loves to play with his kids. So, Father, thank you for your tangible presence, Lord. Come and play. Come and love on us. Come and do what only you can do. And Holy Spirit, we give you permission to do whatever you want to do right now in our life. to do whatever you want to do in our heart, that you would increase compassion. Holy Spirit, fire, increase in this room, Lord. Fire, increase in this room, Lord. Passion, increase. Demonstrations of signs and wonders compelled by love, increase in this room, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I can just see the Holy Spirit on a lot of you in here, and that's so good. Even if you don't feel anything, guess what? He's still all over you. Because emotions are not subject to the presence of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, one thing, Lord, I ask that you would resurrect the original vision of our life that you put in us. Lord, even for those who feel like they missed it or they passed, Lord, Dad, you are always the Papa of second chances and restoration. So, Papa, just renew the vision. Renew our purpose, Lord. Let us know that you have not given up on that at all. And you fully intend to bring it about. Lord, no matter if we're 15 or 115, you are doing that, Papa, because that's what good dads do. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. More. Holy Spirit, one more thing I ask is you renew the vision. I ask you to renew the heart of courage to take the risk now to run and do this. It's time to get up and run. It's time to get up and do. It's time to get up. It's time to run. It's time to do. No longer can it be a season of not doing, of setting, of even wondering if. It is a season of yes. It's time to get up and do. Get up and be. And in the process of that, just, oh, Papa, thank you. Watch what transformation happens in your life. Ooh. But in the life of those that you influence, that you're around. So, Holy Spirit, that's what we ask for. Lord, just like in the day of wonderful day of Pentecost, your Spirit came in and transformed everybody in that room. That's what I believe is happening right now. Well, just keep waiting on the Lord. If you feel any sense of the Holy Spirit in your life, in your heart, in your body, just raise your hand up and put it back down. If you feel like a fresh renewal in your heart is happening, fresh vision is coming on your life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Because sometimes you just get to the place, you're tired, you don't care anymore, so let's run Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. So Holy Spirit, what you're doing in here, we thank you that you will never forget, you will never stop bringing the increase of your love, and you'll never stop bringing the demonstrated increase of your love in our life. And in those things that we put our hand into, you will truly teach us to prosper, because it is fueled by your love and compassion. So Lord, I just want to thank you that we can say that there is great joy in the city of Macon because, Papa, love has come to town. And we declare that upon this house in Jesus' name.